Let's have an official introduction brought to you by one of the co-hosts of WrestleFania. Back together for the first time since seeing each other live in each other's arms at WrestleMania Sunday. Brandon, go.
We don't have to talk, we don't have to dance, we don't have to smile, we don't have to make friends. It's so nice to meet you, let's never meet again. We don't have to talk, we don't have to dance, we don't have to dance.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the only podcast in the world about professional wrestling, WrestleFania. And I have some great news for all of you listeners out there. Gary.
Both of them.
What was that? I thought I was alone. Hello. I thought I was alone again. At last. Finally.
Yeah.
First of all, we have WrestleMania. I am forced to do a live show with not just one mediocre host, but two mediocre hosts.
Well, actually,
and then I am told that there's going to be a mini episode for NXT Lowell. And guess who was not going to NXT Lowell? The voice of WrestleFania. The golden voice of WrestleFania.
May I speak?
If you must.
First of all, I think our live episode, I mean, thank you, Gary, for listening, but what a failure. I mean, let's be honest. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't done an episode. I looked, because we do these through Google Hangouts, and it showed that the last time we actually got together for a Google Hangout was in January. Okay. So that must have been for, we must have done one for the Royal Rumble. That's what it was.
That was our first reunion. Yeah.
So really, when it comes down to it, never mind the fact that we only put out a show once a month. Now we only do shows for the big, not even the big ones, because we didn't even get together for WrestleMania, really. I mean, we just couldn't. It's funny that there's so many podcasts out there that get together every single week. And we, at some point, we decided, okay, we're going to do once a month, kind of focus towards the pay-per-view. And we barely pull that off.
And they're not recording like 15-minute podcasts every week. They're recording like 90-minute podcast every single week.
Yeah, we're already 75% of the way done.
I do not even want to speak 90 minutes to you once a month.
Usually it's like, okay, I'll see you at Easter. Maybe. I'll see you at Christmas. Thanksgiving, probably not. You know, yeah. Yom Kippur, you don't even show up.
But I am there in all the Muslim holidays, okay?
Well, actually, you probably get a ton of holidays off.
We get all like to meet holidays, and now we get all the major Muslim holidays.
Yeah, we don't get
pretty sweet
any of those. We get basically standard holidays. I think the students might get more holidays. Now I want hollandaise sauce, but that has nothing to do with this. Or no, I'm not a teacher. I just show up at schools and wander the halls with my mop. So, Brandon,
you're on a lot of lists.
I'm on a lot of lists. We're here. Finally, to talk about payback, which is this Sunday night, but also to kind of talk about what's going on at WWE, what's going on at NXT, what's going on at funeral homes. I mean, it's really, there's a lot happening. And not all of it's good.
Just throwing it out
there. I'm just saying it. I mean, first of all, let's pick up where we left off. We last saw each other at WrestleMania, where we had fun because we always have fun, but it was kind of a subpar main event, at least. The show, the spectacle, but at least the whole storyline leading up to it wasn't exciting. The show is always fun.
The build sucked. I thought the show overall was well done. They had enough surprises to sort of keep you interested.
Shaq.
It went on way too long.
I was dozing off during the main event.
We literally had like an 8-hour day. We put in a full day of work watching WrestleMania.
We did our live show from 4 to 5. From 5 to midnight, we basically watched wrestling. And you were probably watching it all day already.
Yep.
Plus, we were watching Friday night for NXT. I mean, it was...
The matches were good for the most part, though. I think the women's match was the match of the night.
That was great. And I mean, last year, we did that live reaction podcast. I stayed up like an hour later putting it all together. I got sound clips from off of the network. I produced this whole beautiful thing. If you go back into our archives, you'd find it. And it was like, it's still one of my favorite things I've ever done for the show. And this year,
we gave up doing the instant reactions immediately following the women's championship reveal, which was like in the first 15 minutes.
There is audio out there that's somewhere recorded of us talking about the women's championship and how it's a great thing. And then I started watching, and my brother made pulled pork with JR's barbecue sauce, and I just kind of fell into a zone where I said, "That's screw it, we're not doing it."
Yeah, we were all a little doing too much eating.
Drinking.
A little too much drinking.
Oh yeah, oh sure. And
we just gave up on this whole podcast thing for the night.
But since then, ever since Shane beat the Undertaker and he's taken over Raw as he said he would,
love how they stay true to their stipulations.
Exactly. These last few weeks, months, whatever. No, it's been weeks. I don't know. Have been good. They've kind of been on an uptick. They've done things differently. And for some reason, they're using Shane as the catalyst for the story, even though it makes no sense because he lost.
Right.
But it's been better. Now, I have a question for you. You are a cord cutter.
I am.
So there's no more watching Raw live on Monday nights with you.
Correct. Correct.
Though there probably could be if you found the right stream someplace. I'm sure there is.
Well, I'm sure you will DM me later.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But as someone who doesn't watch Raw on a weekly basis, how do you keep up with stuff?
So I always check the results. I still follow along Monday night on Twitter, and I sort of know what is going on, and I can sort of still participate in things somewhat. So I do sort of a half-ass follow Monday night. Tuesday morning, I always check the results. And then usually Tuesday evening after work, I'll either check out the video highlights on WWE.com, or if I have time, like this week I was on vacation, so I was able to watch the wonderful 90-minute version on Hulu.
I used to do that. I fast-forwarded through
some of it, but...
Right. It's like, oh, this 90 minutes is taking forever.
So I still am following along, keeping up with it. I've been really, not to get too much into it yet, but I've been really into the build for Payback, which is shocking. After the build of WrestleMania, I really did not think I would be. But it's been good so far.
And I say, when we finally do start talking about Payback, I for some reason, Wikipedia puts these matches in terrible order. So I tried to put them in an order that made sense. And I figure we can go through each match and kind of talk about the storyline and what's been going on.
Sure.
In depth. That sounds like we actually have a plan.
Whoa.
Crazy.
And it's such a plan that we just made it right now.
Though I did print up, I have a document I printed up with a little table, and I put a Payback logo, and I emailed it to Brandon, and I'm sure he went down to FedEx Kinko's, printed up a copy for himself.
It's an official memo. It's on... Fans Not Experts letterhead.
It is.
And a fancy Wrestle Watcher signature at the bottom. It's very professional. I'll give it to you. It's very professional.
I got it stamped by one of those stamper people. You know, notarized. Notary.
The notary.
Notary public. Come on. You should be up to date on all your notary public stuff. So that's the first edit. So you're still up to date with things. You're still keeping up. Yeah. But you're not putting in the 180 minutes that I'm putting in on Monday night. I say that even though I fall asleep. I've fallen asleep maybe the last couple of times. It's just, and then I wake up and I'm like, I'm alive. Usually, it used to be, and you'd get a tweet from me because Fridays, I think he's dead.
On Fridays, I'll usually go on WWE.com and read the results of SmackDown and then wonder why I wasted 5 minutes reading the results of SmackDown.
Well, you're a better man than me. SmackDown's on right now as we're recording this. It always seems to happen that way.
But the podcast and the Celtics are both taking precedence over.
Exactly. Every time I turn my head to the right, Brandon sees me turn my head. The for you Celtics fans out there, well, by the time you hear this, the game is already over, but they're losing 11-9 right now. Wishful thinking that they can pull this off.
Okay, and, only the second.
What's that?
Only the second half matters.
I know, right? It's like, that's why I'm barely, I'm like, ah, I'll watch it later. Yeah. I'll probably cut that shit out too.
You look really stressed right now.
I know. It's like I always have a plan and then I lose it. I would like to talk to you about a little subject known as, well, dead wrestlers. And it's a sad state when dead wrestlers is actually kind of like a term.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a few. I mean, going back to Blackjack Mulligan recently. Now, he was an older fella. I don't think he was terribly old, though, but he was in his 80s, some 70s, so maybe that's
I'm not sure. He was up there, though. I would say, but like 70s.
He's one of those guys that, you know, died as an old man, which, I hate to say it, it's like, oh, you know, that's nice that he had a life.
Yeah, and it's rare.
And he's IRS's father and Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt's grandfather. But there have been a few wrestlers who have died a little younger than Mr. Blackjack. And there was a couple you brought up that I thought you'd talk about because I really don't know much about them.
Well, there was Axel Rodden. You know, he had most of his success in ECW. Mainly a tag team guy.
And he died a while ago, though? Or maybe since the last time we've talked, I don't know.
He was sometime in February, I believe. Oh, no.
Was it March?
It would have been before WrestleMania. Let me look it up. I'll find out.
Yeah, very topical.
Very topical. But we never mentioned it. So I'm looking right now to, I guess it was a while ago. Yeah. February 4th.
You can also talk about Crash.
February 4th, 2012.
2012. Did you say 2012?
No, it was 2016. Oh, you ass. But it is.
It's related.
It is somewhat timely, though, because one, we did not mention it at all before, and he was a legend from ECW. He was there for majority of its run. He was involved in a lot of well-known moments from the original ECW, and it is timely because he, for a good portion of his stint in ECW, he was a tag team partner with Balls Mahoney. He hates you so much.
Are you crying?
I just cannot fight back these tears.
See, there's another guy, Balls Mahoney, where I. It's just a name. I feel bad saying this, but I don't know anything about him except that I hear the name. I think, oh, that guy was in ECW, right?
Yeah, well, they were tag team partners for a good chunk of the time, and sometimes they fought each other. And Balls Mahoney would always come to the ring with a chair, and they became known as the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks. That was the name of their tag team. And his chair would always have something posted on it for the crowd, and he would do this thing in his matches where he would hit somebody with a chair and the crowd would chant balls each time. And then if it was blocked, the crowd would say nuts. Because the ECW crowd was the best.
did you ever go to an ECW show?
We did. We saw, well, my older brother at NH Punk. Joe. He went to a few. I went to one. It was at the Ice Center in Salem, New Hampshire.
My wife's cousin went.
It was awesome.
I remember that. Yeah. That was one.
Crazy.
Yeah. So it was like real ECW, not WWE ECW.
Real ECW. And so I did go to a WWE ECW show when it was relaunched before. I think it was right before that they came back on air on the Sci-Fi Channel, or it was right after. So it was like right at the start of it. And that was at the Whittemore Center in Durham, New Hampshire, from UNH. And there was about 200 people there. And we thought it was closed, but they just had like a quarter of the arena blocked off for this event.
And you wonder why WWE killed it off.
But anyways, back to Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney. I just wanted to make sure they were mentioned on this podcast. Balls Mahoney just passed away a couple weeks ago, and they were tag team partners, so they passed just a couple months apart from each other. Both young guys.
Crazy.
In their 40s.
Which, you know, to me, is not old anymore. Not even close. It's frightening.
And Balls Mahoney did spend some time in the WWE as Santa Claus, the evil Santa Claus.
I remember that. As far as I remember that name with the gimmick, I don't know if I've ever... I must have looked it up and seen.
I think it lasted about 2 weeks.
I was listening to a podcast, and I guessed he was like just hanging out with his wife. And I don't know if he was on some painkillers or something. And they were like watching Jeopardy, and he just kind of turned over like to go to... or fell asleep, and he never woke up.
It's crazy.
But... unfortunately, we're not done talking about deceased former professional wrestlers.
Nope.
As I was on Twitter Wednesday night, and I started seeing a hashtag called RIP China.
Yeah.
And I was like, immediately I'm like, this can't be real. And I start looking, digging. And the ninth wonder of the world, Joni Lauer, better known to the world as China, is no longer with us.
46, I believe, right?
45 going on 46, yeah, which, again, not old.
Not old and at that, all.
And the sad thing is it's like, you're like, oh, wow, she died. That's terrible. I mean, that's... and part of me is like, it's not completely shocking.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
I mean, in recent years, her troubles have been pretty public.
Yeah.
She was on, I mean, she did the reality TV rounds after the WWE, and one of the shows she was on was Celebrity Rehab on VH1. Yeah.
I think I saw her in Surreal Life. That's what I watched. Well.
And then she got into porn, and, you know, her problems were very well documented. And
right.
But none of it takes away from what she did when she was a wrestler. And, I mean, this was a big one that really reached out beyond the world of wrestling. I had coworkers who have absolutely no idea I watch wrestling go, hey, do you remember that wrestler China? Did you hear that she died? Like they knew about it, even though none of them were fans of the current product or had any clue I was at all interested in wrestling. So
you were like, duh.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I don't know.
I remember her.
And I don't. My dad mentioned it to me. He's like, did you hear? You saw about that wrestler? I was like, yeah, jerk. it's obviously, you know, it. I mean, it only got about 12 hours of news cycle, and then unfortunately, it's erased her from off the map. But. That's for a different podcast. Yeah, she made obviously a huge impression as far as women wrestling, and a big giant part of the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I think the word pioneer or trendsetter or however you want to word, I think those words are thrown around a lot, and they do not always apply. But in her case, I think that they do. She was one of the first well-known woman of the Attitude Era. She broke down barriers. She wrestled men. and made it convincing. Yeah. She won the Intercontinental Championship, and it was not a joke when she won it. It was not like it did not belittle the title or make it seem like it was they were making fun of anything. It was a legit win. Yeah. And then she appeared in the Royal Rumble match, and same thing. It was not a joke. It was
she eliminated Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I like the Attitude Era. So we're talking, did she start there? I don't know when she got her start, but is it like, you're guessing 97, 98?
It must have been, she was at WrestleMania 14, which was like when Austin first won the title with Mike Tyson and all that. So she was a part of DX when it was just Michaels and Helmsley. So it was Triple H, Michaels, and her. That was DX. So that was probably 1990. Might have been 1996. Definitely 1997. I'm going to look it up right now.
And then 01, she was done. So it wasn't a very long. You know, she by 2001, she was out of there.
She must have come in 1997 because WrestleMania 14 was 1998. So I think it was like 97, 98 she came in. So even a shorter amount.
Yeah, 4 years, and then she went off. I was listening. Do you listen to the Sam Roberts show, or are you familiar with Sam Roberts?
Yes.
Yes, he had an interview with her just like, I think it was a few weeks or a few months ago, but he never aired it recently until he'd been sitting on it. So I just heard it, and how she went. She left in 01, and she went off to Japan, then she wasn't wrestling. Then she had a stint in TNA in 2011 for a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't any memory of that. I'm not surprised.
There's a picture of Mick Foley raising her arm.
Huh.
Yeah. But big impression left on the business. Sad kind of ending. Especially, like, there was like, she had a YouTube channel and like she posted a video that just seemed like her rambling. And it was very weird. But she... wrestling and what she's done to the business, she deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. There are some weird things where she's accusing Triple H of stuff, and there's a weird kind of whole dynamic because they were together, and then trying to Triple H left this real life stuff. Triple H left her for Stephanie.
Yeah.
So, and then Triple H was on.
And then you add in the public. Battles with drugs and
yeah,
doing porn and all that sort of worked against her, I think. But as far as her getting recognition for what she accomplished in that way, I think this might sound weird, but like her death will help in that regard because I think
I agree.
People reflect on just her wrestling career, and WWE put together a really nice package for her. Yeah. And I heard that they're doing a WWE Network collection for her. That's so true. It looks like they might already be taking steps to sort of refocus people. And I could definitely see in like the next few years her being inducted finally.
Yeah, I think Triple H was on Stone Cold's podcast. And he said, like, you know, he didn't think so. He didn't think he was in the cards. And I think that's, you know, she's off there doing porn and all this shit. And,
yeah,
you know, I hate to see, as you said, now that she's gone, there's nothing else she can do to say, oh, you know, WWE Hall of Famer back in porn or like Sonny.
Right.
Or, oh, you know, I don't even want to sound bad. There can be no weird rambling speech. You know, it's like now they can. Was what they like to do. They can kind of dictate the narrative. Ooh, that sounds smart.
And I mean, and what's done is done. And look at, I mean, at least 50% of their Hall of Fame had either a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, did porn, or worse, they killed somebody or beat their wife or something. Like there's countless addictions and crimes and adult entertainment careers mixed in with at least 50% of their entire Hall of Fame. Yeah. So,
I think the Bushwhackers are the only ones there that haven't done anything wrong.
And Jimmy Snuka.
And Jimmy. Well, yeah, he accidentally murdered the shit out of that woman. Me, I don't know English.
I think he did it with a coconut, right?
Sadly, that's the first thing I thought of. But then, no, I believe it was. I was like, he must have. I go, oh no, that was rest in peace, Piper.
That's
Piper.
A headline for kayfabe news when they just feel like getting really dark one day.
Murder weapon found. Oh, God, that's terrible. Terrible. But yeah, I agree that I think she'll eventually get into the Hall of Fame. So rest in peace, China. Kind of depressing. Want to move on to something a little more exciting? So yeah. Tonight's Thursday. Now, last Thursday night, myself, my brother at SPC73, Brandon, and Brandon's brother at NH Punk all went to... Oh, wait a second. You weren't there.
Rub it in.
You weren't there, were you? Now, Brandon... You couldn't tell because he's not wearing thick rim glasses like myself. He's not wearing a scarf and he doesn't have a beard, but he lives in Brooklyn. So I can only imagine what the people at all the coffee shops and the sustainable markets all look at him as some weirdo. But
and if that show was on like a Saturday night, I would have made the effort probably to go home and like see you guys for a third time and yes. Come to the show.
Yes,
because but be on a Thursday night, and this guy had to work Thursday and Friday. So
you bum. That's right. Because he lived so far away, he could not come with me and the boys to NXT in Lowell, Massachusetts, an NXT house show. How fun! Of course, if you're a faithful listener to the show, Gary. You've already listened to the quick NXT TakeOver episode that I did on my back deck while I was working on steps and trying to get my Fitbit up. That reminds me, hold on a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I just got 10 quick steps in. Now.
It was like watching the real Superman.
It was like, I was going to say The Flash, but that's cool. Anyway.
Are you like popping pills as I speak to you? Are you
I have gum going in and out of my mouth. I wish I was popping pills. That's what we should do. Next episode, we should both take an Ambien and just see what happens. We should just talk until we pass out. But NXT Lowell and NXT in general, you think all these guys are coming up. We got Enzo and Cass who came up. The Vaudevillains have come up. And you think, you know, now, you know, Owens and Zane are Zane's up for full time now. And there's going to be a great match with them. We'll talk about that later. But you keep thinking, NXT's great. But all these NXT guys are leaving and they're going to the main roster. What is to become of NXT? And they just keep finding ways to reinvent themselves. And one of the things that they did at NXT Lowell, which was just, I think, a stroke of brilliance for anyone who complains about it, they don't get it. The fact that Finn Balor dropped the title to Samoa Joe just makes NXT feel like those house shows, anything can happen. And it makes you say, well, I don't want to miss one. Because what if something cool like that happens?
Yeah. I mean, they do, compared to the WWE, they do a limited amount of shows. It's not like they're, I'm pretty sure they're not doing live shows every single night.
No, they do
monthly TV taping.
Right.
So, they don't have the same grinding schedule that the WWE main roster does. So by having a limited number of shows and having something like that happen, it makes every show matter or feel like it.
And the full sail shows, I think they do four. Like they do it once a month, I think. They do 4 hours or something. But because you could always tell that the same people are in the audience for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then they spread those out over the month. And then they tour the rest of the time.
When they do like a takeover, like when they did it at Barclays for SummerSlam weekend, or when they were in Dallas for WrestleMania, they make the most of it and they film a couple weeks worth of TV while they're there.
Yeah. Last night's NXT is still in Dallas.
Yeah,
I think they they might return to Full Sail next week. But it's funny because they tape this stuff weeks ago, but the announcers don't do that stuff live. They come in and they're talking like last week happened. So they're talking about it, that Samoa Joe's already the champion. And I got to tell you that the place exploded for Nakamura coming out. And like, he didn't even have to do much. Like, he punches the guy a couple of times, kicks the guy, does his little dip. And, you know, just...
By the way, I've never seen anybody like that guy. Right. He's truly one of a kind.
He's weird, and I like it. And Brandon died. Oh, there he is. He's still back.
Yeah. So, just get off topic for a moment. Did you see that the Patriots posted a pic of Tom Brady's jersey at the start of the draft?
No, that's so beautiful. Well, they have nothing to do tonight. First round of the draft.
Might as well be active on social media.
Right. Exactly. and, you know, they keep finding ways to restock the roster. They're bringing, like I said, they brought in Nakamura, big deal. They're showing guys from TNA. They showed Bobby Roode. Austin Aries. He was there at LOL. He got a nice reaction. There's another Ibushi, I think is the guy's name, another Japanese guy they showed in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if they're signing.
Atami should be coming back soon.
Right, Atami. And who knows if they're taking anybody from that cruiserweight thing. They're going to indie wrestling companies, and they're having cruiserweight matches as part of a WWE tournament, which is
amazing. I never thought of that.
It must be Triple H. I'm guessing it's Triple H's influence. Yeah. And it makes me feel good for or positive about what the future.
I mean, I think the future of the WWE, you're going to see it. It's always going to be sports entertainment. There's always going to be overacting and cheesy storylines and dramatics and theatrics and gimmicks and whatever. But I think you're going to see it continue down this path of it being treated more like a sport.
Yep.
And I think they're modeling themselves a lot after MMA and just also old school wrestling territories, except now they are the territory.
Yeah, it's amazing how they're embracing indies because they're not opponents. That's why they can embrace them. There was an interview I guess recently with the guy, the head of Ring of Honor, who would be like, "Yeah, I'd put our show on WWE Network. Why not? Why wouldn't you?"
I think it's really cool, and I think it's definitely Triple H. But Vince has also always done these weird little things throughout the years, like when he had the working relationship with ECW in the 90s.
That's true.
It's like he had no reason to do that, but he did it just because he wanted to.
Pretty much funding them, wasn't he? Wasn't he funding them at some point?
Yeah, he was like giving them a paycheck. So, you know, they've always done these little weird things. They also had like a luchador show for a while on what's the Univision? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, like back in the 90s. I think it was during the Attitude Era. It was like it was specific to like the Spanish market, and it was all like luchadors.
So they had no idea
before, but not to this level, and not like so tailored to making like a separate entity from like Raw and SmackDown and the main like WWE shows.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool what they're doing.
Very cool. And earlier tonight, I saw a tweet because I think they're back in Full Sail taping again. Eric Young, former TNA heavyweight champion, I think heavyweight champion, has showed up at NXT.
And from what I hear, I mean, I'm not a watcher of Impact Wrestling. I've seen bits and pieces and I've seen clips of Eric Young. And from what I know about him and from what I hear from people, I think he's going to be a perfect fit there. He has like a big personality. He has some crossover appeal. He has like a hunting or fishing show on like.
I've heard that. Right?
And so I think he has a lot of things that they as a company would find appealing. I think he could have a very bright future there.
It's funny. I remember
half New Japan and half TNA right now.
Right? And they're just, They don't mention TNA at all. They'll mention New Japan left and right now.
Yeah. On Raw, they mentioned New Japan like 20 times.
What was I going to say? And they showed a little video of him kind of showing up at NXT, and I saw Samoa Joe was in the ring. So, whatever, take that for whatever, if that means they're going to have some kind of feud together. At WrestleWatch, just got another follower on Twitter. Just letting you know. Oh. Boom.
Must have been one of your other Twitter accounts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But 95% of my followers are Twitter accounts I've created and Gary. So, before we move into WWE Payback, which we'll kind of touch upon some interesting things that are going on at Raw. We've talked about New Japan people coming in. So that all kind of work its way into the Payback talk. Was there a challenge or a question issued to us by Mr. Gary? Because he's the only one who answered.
You must have been looking at the wrong hashtag. It was not at hashtag Ask WrestleFan. It was hashtag Ask WFP. If you click on that hashtag, there's thousands.
Oh, so who else? I mean, it's too many.
Who else? I mean, we mentioned a lot of the names already. Vince McMahon, Triple H.
Crash Holly.
Axel Rotten.
You're going to hell.
The Crash Holly slip up was an honest slip up, okay?
That's why I'm never going to let it, quote unquote, die.
Too soon. I'm going to hell, too.
Too soon. 12 years later.
In fairness to me, too, like, you can't really have a conversation about wrestlers, like we were saying before, without 50% of them having, like, not being of this earth anymore.
It's the sad truth. I think it was the Royal Rumble, too.
What were you saying?
I
narrowed it down to one question from Gary because he is our listener of the year. He won that prestigious award a couple months ago. Yeah.
Pretty soon it's going to be called the Gary Award.
Well, I mean, he beat out Barry and Larry and
that's true.
Jerry and several others.
And Darren from The Outsiders.
Yeah. So he asked, this question actually goes back to WrestleMania because we did not answer it. So he had a repeat question. He asked, how would we have booked WrestleMania differently since a lot of the matches sort of were lackluster? For example, they had that six-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title. They put Zack Ryder on it. Of course, they shocked everybody by having him win it.
That is one of the things that got us off our feet.
Yeah. But Zack Ryder being in the match was really it was an odd choice. He had, you know, basically been on NXT in tag team matches for that entire year. So that was the question posed to us. And, I mean, it's sort of hard to answer because WrestleMania has come and gone and so much has happened since then.
I think it's pretty easy to answer.
All right, then you answer, big guy.
Payback. How would I book it differently? I'd basically book Payback.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. And Gary, we did not plan this at all ahead. Yes, we did. Collusion. Basically, as much fun as we had enjoying WrestleMania, the upcoming show this Sunday night, as far as matches are concerned, I think is infinitely more exciting. And more interesting.
Without a doubt. We have some new matches, some new rivalries that we've never seen before.
So.
With good.
Right. So, our way of kind of weaseling out of Gary's question, because that's exactly what we just did, Gary, is to say we would book Payback exactly. So, why don't we go through and talk about Payback?
So, let's start with the one match on the card with a horrible build, the kickoff match.
Okay, here's the sad thing. I don't even realize there's a build. I remember Kalisto and Ryback fighting at WrestleMania. and here we are again.
Well, I was going to ask you, actually, if anything has happened in the last 4 weeks.
I feel like I've watched Raw every moment, every week, and I don't remember anything. I think there might have been a bit of a match. maybe they did a lot of stuff on SmackDown, but everything that John Cena did to elevate this U.S. title has gone down, 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 down.
So I'm on WWE.com, and they have the match list, and if you click on the matches, they have like this whole long rundown of what is leading up to the match. So I never read it, but I had to click on it to find out why they are having this match.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. Dramatic.
So I'll just it's not at all. So here's what they're saying. Apparently, Kalisto has been losing every week since WrestleMania. Ryback has been winning every week, and including a win over Kalisto. So basically, they're just setting Kalisto up to be an underdog again, and Kalisto will win again. And for whatever reason, he will still be United States champion. And for whatever reason, that belt will still be at the bottom of the card. And if Ryback wins, I could care less. At this point, Ryback winning a title is like The Miz winning a title, which is something we'll get to in a moment. But
well, I disagree. I disagree in almost everything you've ever said. But more importantly, I disagree with what you just said, not only about Ryback, but also disparaging The Miz, who has been doing stellar work lately. Again, I don't give two shits about this match, but I think it's time to take this belt off this tiny little man who's done nothing with it. I don't even, maybe, unless he sold a lot of masks. I have no idea. It's time to take it off him. Ryback is going to be your new United States champion. Now, when Cena comes back Memorial Day, I think he announced, which is in May, right?
Yeah. End of May.
So Ryback is winning this so that he can later lose it back to the man who's going to bring the United States Championship Challenge back. That's Mr. John Cena. So you can book it. Ryback is your new United States champion. What say you?
I think Kalisto wins. He's been losing every week.
More importantly, you can watch this on YouTube. It's become the YouTube. This championship has been on the pre-show, I think, three weeks in a row? Three months in a row?
3 months in a row, yeah.
But we did watch it.
Keep in mind that at SummerSlam, it was a main event match, title for title, against the world champion. And now it's been a kickoff show match.
Yeah.
Like 3 months, right?
I think ever since Del Rio dropped it. Yeah, that blows. So, you can see I completely lost my train of thought. I was going to say that there were more people in our living room watching that match than there were in the, the Cowboy Stadium.
That's the one downfall of starting at noon when it's sunny out.
I know, right? Celtics are losing by 9. Oh, maybe. Well,
it matters till the second half.
I know. So yeah, that's I made a sheet. I didn't put it in. I don't know what the order of matches is. I guessed the order of the matches. So again, we don't really care about this, but for legal matters, we have to go through and choose a winner. So you're choosing Kalisto.
I am.
And I am choosing the Ryback.
So then let's transition. I made a comment about The Miz, and you stood up for him.
That's exactly the match
with the Continental title.
This story has been fun. What they basically did was take the title off of Kevin Owens and put Kevin Owens in a feud that matters so much that it doesn't need a belt at all.
I agree with that.
Gives the belt to The Miz really quickly while giving us an excitement an exciting moment, a moment you weren't expecting at WrestleMania, but very quickly cancels that out. They get to show that picture of Razor, Scott Hall, and I can't think of his name. The champion, the guy who won it and lost it.
Zack Ryder?
Zack Ryder. They had the photo between the two of them. I literally said his name 5 seconds ago. So they got to use that photo and show that off, and then quickly said, "Okay, Zach, thanks for coming. Your dad gets to come here, but we have the Miz with his lovely wife, who talks like she is a high voice to Kevin Owens. She has a much stronger accent than all of them."
The wife gives Lana a run for her money, is all I'm going to say.
Yes, and I love the way that she, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn all say NXD. I'm going to get you. I saw you at NXD. I'll see you back here. The Miz versus Cesaro, who also came back, and now he's like the professional ripping off his suit every time. He's over. This feud has been good, dare I say.
No, Miz, I give him a hard time a lot, but he's been very good in his position.
I used having to hate him.
Freshens up the character. The build has been good. Cesaro's excellent.
This is going to be a fun match.
I think it will be a fun match. Who do you think wins?
I think the Miz retains.
I think the Miz retains, and only because I see this rivalry continuing.
Yeah,
I think Cesaro will win the Intercontinental title at one of the next couple pay per views. But I think Miz retains on Sunday.
We are in agreement there. Yeah, I think I say the Miz. No one does the Miz like the Miz. Does exactly what he does perfectly, which is make you. He's not the heel that's so cool to like. He's the heel that you just want to hate. He's perfect at it.
And he can. I'll give him respect too, because he can play any role they need him to play.
Yeah,
he can be like the friendly, good guy who can do, you know, interviews on whatever talk show, and he can be just a horrible heel.
Yeah, he was drinking bottled, you know, it wasn't bottled water. He spits it up. Now they're making people put like a coat down so he doesn't have to step in like spilled soda. And the fact that it's his real life wife, they can kind of play off that. They're like making out in the middle of the ring. Good stuff. And we all love Cesaro, but the Miz is going to keep this. So I'm going to move on now. Again, these are just my order of what I think the matches could be. The tag team champions, the New Day, are not wrestling. Instead, they took their number one product, Bootios, and they used it to sponsor a tag team tournament, which has been a lot of fun.
I never get tired of tournaments. I think they should do more of them. So I think the number one contender tournament was a lot of fun.
And shockingly... Shockingly, the Usos aren't in it.
Which is awesome. I was going to say, like, kind of piggybacking off that, is it's fun because we have two new tag teams in the finals, and it just, everything feels fresh.
Everything, these two tag teams and the people they're going against, except for Kofi Kingston, are all NXT people.
Yeah.
Kofi's chaotic, so that's still cool. So this, which way do you see this one going? I think, first of all, Enzo and Cass just came in and said, "Hi, we're over just as much as the New Day," automatically.
They got one of the loudest pops on this past Raw. Connecticut, I felt like, was really not giving it up for a lot of people, and they knew every single word. They huge for Enzo and Cass.
It's like, there's a lot of people, I guess, have the network now.
Yes.
Go.
Who said Joe's more professional than us?
Okay, I'm going to talk. So I wonder. I always wonder, like, if there are people in the back going, who are these guys and how do they know everything they're saying? There's a Bray Wyatt talks in an interview that they were showing him and there were people knew who he was, and Vince was like, how do they already know who he is? How do they know this guy's name already?
Yeah.
Very cool. And that's all because of the power of NXT.
But I think that going back to the match, as over as Enzo and Cass are, they do not need, they already, I think, are beyond the belts. They're like the New Day. The New Day does not need those belts. They can be over without the belts. They'll get the belts eventually, but yeah, they're not going to win Sunday night because I think the Dudleys or somebody's going to cost them the tournament finals.
Oh. I think the bottom loads
rise everybody and go over. And then we're going to have the Vaudevillains in the New Day, the tag belts. And the New Day have had the belts for so long, but I think the Vaudevillains are actually going to pull off two upsets in a row.
Ooh.
And win the tournament finals and then beat New Day for the belts.
I wonder about that second part, but I like what you're saying about the first part. The Vaudevillains need to win more to kind of cement them as being bad.
They could be a comedy act. They could be Los Matadors really quick.
Yeah, but they came in being like the heels that they were, the villains that they were when they started NXT, which then eventually led to them being over and becoming fan favorites. But I like it, and plus Enzo and Cass they're good at losing. Enzo's good at losing and looking, you know, like a rag doll getting flipped around. So,
and that's the thing too, is that look at NXT, they had like four or five shots at the belts, and they never won them. They never needed to win them.
Exactly.
Still the most over tag team there.
So I assume that we're going to find out about this match starting because Big E's going to say, oh, Dallas, they're going to come down, sit with the announcers. The match is going to start happening. Then the Dudleys come down. Like they say, they cost Enzo and Cass the match. And then there's like 10 guys in the ring all beating the hell out of each other.
I could actually see Cass and Enzo getting a title shot. It made the belt at like SummerSlam.
Yeah, big one. Yep.
Bigger of a stage.
I could see that from the Vaudevillains, maybe.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And then once American Alpha gets up there, all bets are off.
They're fantastic.
Sean didn't know who they were. And it's so funny. They had Gable, I don't even remember. Oh, they were fighting the Revival. So one of the guys had Gable kind of in an arm stretch thing, you know, where they have him on the back and he's stretching.
Yeah.
And I found out later that they were saying Gable backpack, but I thought they were saying Gable package because his tights. I look at Sean and I'm like, his penis is staring right at me, basically. It was just like, she's like, right? Am I right? So we hear Gable backpack. We didn't hear that. I thought they were saying Gable package. I was like, they can all see that from there? This is crazy. It was uncomfortable, but it was fun. I'm going back to NXT, but real quick with that is I see Jason Jordan. He has this huge smile on his face, and I feel that's genuine because he's been there for a while, and he finally gets something that really has clicked.
Yeah.
And so they'll be up here someday. Yes. Whatever the hell he just said. but back to the thing. We both say Vaudevillains.
I say Vaudevillains.
Vaudevillains. I agree with you. How can I not? It makes sense. So let's move on. There's actually 8 matches listed. If there's any other matches that are added tonight on SmackDown, we don't care enough to watch SmackDown. That's ridiculous. Plus, you know, Brandon's a...
And they've already announced the kickoff match, though, and there's 8 matches. I don't see anything else being added.
I probably... But unless, of course, you know... R-Truth just comes out for a second, does a little bit.
Maybe we'll get the big return of Titus O'Neil.
He was on, I think he was wrestling in something like a main event or something. Oh, my wife teaches with somebody, and she's huge into this. Like, she's posting tons of. She went to SmackDown, was in Manchester, New Hampshire the other night.
Yeah.
And she was posting tons of pictures. I was like, oh my God, Tammy. Become friends with more become best friends with her. She wrote, this is actually perfect. She posted a picture on Facebook and said, oh, there's Ziggler against that Satan guy. And that leads us into this next match that we're talking about right now, which is Dolph Ziggler versus that Satan guy, Baron Corbin, whose call-up was kind of a surprise.
Surprising, but it's been effective, I think, so far.
I think he's been good. He did something the other day where he grabbed Ziggler. Someone in the crowd was yelling something, and he said, "This is for you, stupid." And I said, "Okay, it's working."
Oh, by the way, not to go off topic, but nothing beats Headlock Master.
Was he talking? Kevin Owens Headlock. He was doing something to Triple H the other day.
Yeah, I think they like teamed up on like a live show.
Yeah.
And he did something. And he called him like the master of the chin lock or something.
He screams it.
I want a Headlock Master t-shirt, though. If they came out with that, I would buy it.
His stock is rising.
Huge time, yeah.
He's been awesome.
NXT. But back to Ziggler Corbin.
Speaking of NXT. Corbin. Corbin wins. Yeah, that's I agree with you. Ziggler's going to come in, going to do a great job of basically putting the younger guy over.
I could see Ziggler even getting destroyed.
Yeah, he's very good at
Ziggler
getting
better than anybody. So,
and what was I going to say about Corbin? Corbin was one of the only other thing that got us off our feet was when Corbin eliminated Kane to win the Battle Royal. That was, because it was surprising. It was fun.
It was surprising. It was cool. It was well done.
Yeah. But we both say Corbin.
Definitely Corbin.
Corbin, Corbin, Corbin. Corbin Dallas. Sorry, that's Fifth Element. are you familiar?
What did you say?
Never mind. I quoted a bad Bruce Willis movie, which I actually like a lot, The Fifth Element.
What movie?
The Fifth Element.
Oh, I haven't seen that one in years.
Yeah, well.
By the way, Bruce Willis is the new Nicolas Cage.
Oh, you're going to do Bruce Lick soon and then give up on it?
You ever see the, if you go on, is there like a trailers thing on Roku?
There is some, but I can do YouTube too.
Go to like YouTube or go to like Apple Trailers or something like on your laptop or whatever. There is a new movie out.
Yes.
Called Precious Cargo. It's starring Bruce Willis and guess who?
Isn't it like Adam Rose or some Ziggler or some weird? Is it wrestling?
It's not a wrestler.
Oh no! Okay, wait. Bruce Willis and. I mean, is it The Miz? No, he said it's not a wrestler.
Not a wrestler.
It's not Nick Cage. Is it like Dax Shepard? I don't know who.
You're getting closer, but think of...
Oh, wait. T-Bo?
Think of 90s kid shows.
Darius Rucker? Okay,
Or family shows, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, wait a minute. Sasha, the guy who was from Just the 10 of Us? No, not Just the 10 of Us. I can't think. He was in Kickboxing.
You're not going to get it.
I'm not going to get it. Bronson Pinchot.
It's Bruce Willis and Mr. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Oh, can I tell you something? Mark Paul. That's right. I was going to tweet something about this and go, man, how the mighty have fallen. Mark Paul Gosselaar has to do a movie with Bruce Willis. Because, I was a Franklin and Bash fan.
You know, he gets top billing, too.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the movie poster, and it says Mark Paul Gosselaar, then Bruce Willis.
I watched Raising the Bar, where he was a lawyer, and I watched Franklin and Bash. I watched every episode of that show. That show was good.
I just feel bad for Bruce, and he was one of my favorites. I just got to go back and rewatch Die Hard on repeat.
I mean, didn't he just make a Die Hard like 3 months ago? I felt like
it's the only movies I think if it has Die Hard in the title, it'll go to theaters. Otherwise, he's sitting out.
That's right. And like, did you see Jean-Claude Van Damme's making a movie with Screech?
No. Is he really? Are you making that up?
Yes, I'm making that up.
I mean, I would have believed you.
Yeah, but he's actually Screech. He's not. It's not. It's not Dustin Diamond. He plays Screech. Screech, we have to get out of here. That's my Jean-Claude. I hope to edit all this shit out.
What were we talking about?
Oh, so we both picked. We both picked Baron Corbin.
Yeah, both picked Corbin.
Perfect. See, seamless transition. Moving on. The next one I have on our list is another championship match. We have two championship matches, two non-championship matches left. This is for the, I'm going to say it, WWE Women's Championship. Not the Divas. Ooh. Not the Divas. The Women's. That cool belt.
That was the right move.
Oh, yeah. We have that the champion, Charlotte, in her corner is Logan Airport refugee Ric Flair. And she's taking on Natalia, which is in her corner because her dad is who knows where the hell he is Uncle Brett. And is it an uncle? I don't even know what it is. Yeah, it's an uncle, right?
Uncle.
Yeah, is that his?
I think her father's Jim the Anvil Neidhart, but right. I think he's too crazy, so they never bring him in. Right. So they basically just treat Brett as if he's the father.
I'm guessing Natalia's mother is Brett's sister or something like that. Might be, I think. But and it's interesting. I thought I saw things where like Brett almost didn't want to do this. He's still recovering from a stroke, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's just a little grumpy too. He's like a grumpy old man.
Oh no, he did come out and announce. He brought out Sami Zayn for his debut, so he must be doing better. But Ric Flair, man, did you see the whole thing with him on TMZ and him and Logan?
I did. Well, I don't know if there's a video of anything, but I saw like pics and stuff and read the article.
He just looked like an old man, like a real old. He just looks like, older and older.
I couldn't tell if he was drunk and passed out or just old and tired.
Right. And it's like he the one lucky thing he has going for him is that Steve Martin thing where he had really platinum blonde hair early. Steve Martin so the age thing. It's not like whoa, he got really really white. I mean, it's just now he started to look like he could be Charlotte's grandfather. That being said,
looking like she could be Charlotte's grandfather.
This is the only women's match on the card. There's no Becky. There's no Sasha. So maybe that is a match that might get added. But this is the only women's match on the card for the championship. What say you?
Charlotte wins.
Charlotte wins. Natalia, has she
something to wreck at the end? Like maybe put him in a sharpshooter or something.
That would be cool. That would be one of them will just poof.
Or just one of them might die. Right. We might be doing an in memoriam after Payback. Our instant reaction.
Do you realize
heart dying?
I have to say, it's unfortunately the most laughing we've done tonight is during the death talk and the potential death talk. Get this only at WrestleMania. Charlotte, it's like I think they just, you know, she's been the Divas champion for a while, but they just gave her that new belt, and I enjoy the Rick being there, just and Charlotte having to rely on him, and maybe that'll at some point break off between the two of them.
Yeah.
But they're finally given. Oh, excuse me. They're finally given Natty like a storyline. They're giving her something to do. But yeah, unfortunately, I think Charlotte's going to retain here. I have to agree with you.
I see Charlotte holding it till SummerSlam. I think she loses it to Sasha.
Oh my God! How wonderful! How absolutely wonderful that would be. So let's move on. Did you see? Back to Charlotte really quick. Did you see any of the Dr. Phil stuff?
No.
I was so, like, I was complaining so much about it. Why is this guy here? Blah, blah, blah. Like, some people were like, oh, you know, stop complaining. And then he was on, and I'm like, he really wasn't that bad. It was unfortunate.
I actually heard that they used him, like, to a minimum, and it was It was okay.
They pretty much used him just for that story. And he got a few woos in, and he came off like he, you know, it's like, oh, I'm trying to sound like he knew what he was talking about. Like he did his homework at least. Yeah. So I, as much as I was like, oh, why are they doing this? You know, it wasn't, I didn't hate it in the long run.
Yeah.
But let's move on. The next match I have on my card is with Y2J kids. That means that's a reference to Y2K. Look it up. It's from 16 years ago, 17 years ago. He is taking on Mr. Dean Ambrose. And I assume is the it's just a singles match, but really it should be the winner of the match gets to keep their talk show. You know, the whole thing with Ambrose and Lesnar, that like literally disappeared right after WrestleMania. It's like, forget about that. That's over. Jericho, AJ, forget about that. That's over. This has kind of pushed these guys together. And it's been good because Jericho, you know, he can talk. But the fact that he's relying on just calling people stupid idiots, and he wears these terrible scarves, which you know he's just trolling us. He calls people stupid idiots on Twitter. He stays in character. He is a great heel, and hopefully this could be a really fun match. But I'm going to say that Jericho won at WrestleMania, so Dean Ambrose is going to and lost at WrestleMania, so Dean Ambrose is going to win.
Without a doubt.
Sunday night.
Ambrose wins, and I think this could be, with the possible exception of the next match we're going to talk about, this could be match of the night.
I think it's going to be, if it's match of the, I think it's up there, but I know the next one we're talking about, which I think is going to be match of the night.
Well, I say with the possible exception of the...
That's true. Oh, sorry. That's true. I didn't understand the word you said. You.
I know you have a hard time understanding English.
You need to enunciate. No, yeah, you did say that. You exactly said it right. Yeah, Dean Ambrose is going to win this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the hell with that. Let's move on. To the match. It's literally a match of the night. The match that they have started to build. Monday night, they did a whole package showing these guys' history.
That was a good package they did to get everybody up.
They couldn't show many matches because then they'd be like, why is Sami Zayn wearing a mask? So they showed a lot of old pictures where Owens looks like he's 12 years old. We're talking about Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Just a match, which I think... If anyone says this is too soon, no, this is the start of something that we'll be watching for years to come.
It's going to be like an Austin Rock or a Michaels Bret in terms that this is always going to be like a feud.
You said Michaels Bret. I was like, you mean Bret Michaels? That's the first thing I thought of.
This is always going to be a feud. I think you're going to see it. Main eventing pay-per-views one day down the road. It's always going to be happening. It's always going to be intriguing. It's always going to be going on. And they'll be friends, and they'll be enemies, and they'll be friends, and they'll be enemies. But I think this is going to be the match of the night. I really have no clue who's going to win.
Right. I mean, they could go either way. I have my educated guess. I think that Kevin Owens needs a victory. I feel like it's been a while now. He won the title, but he won the title in a weird four-way match on a Raw, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, he needs to look like beat the shit out of Zayn. They'll beat the shit out of each other, but I think in the end he's going to come off looking more powerful and being the victor. Sami Zayn is going to, you know, look, gets the pity, or you know what I'm talking about, the fans behind him, like he tried his best, all that stuff, but Owens is going to be the victor. And again, yeah. I think this is just maybe
I think Owens wins. I think this rivalry continues. And Zayn also, people need to understand the fact that Sami Zayn is never going to win a lot of matches. Like, he's always going to be the underdog. He's always going to be beaten up. It's not a bad thing for his character. He could still be like a main event player, yep. But he's always going to be on the losing end more than he is winning. That's going to, because that's part of his character. It's part of who he is.
You want him?
It's part of his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's too soon for Sami Zayn to get the big win over Owens. So I think Owens gets the win. I think, like you said, Owens could use the win more.
Yep.
I agree. Owens wins. Or I could see it just being going to like a no contest where Owens just like destroys
one of those
Zayn. It's just like a DQ finish or something.
He does like the powerbomb on the side apron there and the paramedics have to come down. I like that.
But if it is like a DQ finish or like a no contest or whatever, I think a crazy bump is going to be involved. So people aren't going to be like pissed so much, you know?
Right, like they feel ripped off or anything. Sure. Look, I think the fact that we're getting this, they could just go out there and you know, do double dutch, and I'll be like, "This is awesome! This is the greatest thing ever." So I'm pretty excited about this match, and it even stems back to the fact where one night, a couple of years ago, I'm up in my in-laws, and they get this main station. I flip it on 11:30, and Ring of Honor is on, and I'm watching a match between two guys I've never seen before, Kevin Steen and El Generico, and they're showing this crazy ladder match, and that was all it took. And that was all it took for me to be like, okay, I know enough now. So when Owens got signed, Steen, whatever you want to say, got signed, that was like, oh, this is awesome. This is so cool. And the same thing with, Sami Zayn was already there. It was he was there by the time I got the network. The whole thing, just the fact that you go back that far leading to this is just pretty, pretty, pretty awesome.
And I like, too, that they are bringing the history into it because they knew they had a money feud.
Yeah.
And they're capping it, and I think it's smart. They're not pretending like these guys have never fought before.
Exactly. But that is just one match. One of seven matches we've already talked about. There is one more match listed, Brandon. One match where the two combatants have never faced in a match before. Because, let's be honest, one of the combatants spent most of his career outside of the WWE, where another combatant has never wrestled anywhere except in WWE-owned companies like FCW, NXT, and, of course, the main WWE. And I'm talking about your World Heavyweight Champion. He's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's the guy. I'm talking about Mr. Romano Reigns, who has the coolest chant because they go "roo" whenever he comes out. I assume that's what they say, right?
Right. It's like a Bruce Springsteen concert where they go "Bruce."
Exactly. And he's taking on the guy with the silkiest hair in the business, and a guy who's, when I started heard him talk, I was as surprised at his accent as I was by Samoa Joe's lack of an accent. Mr. AJ Styles.
That's why he's been well known in the industry for the last decade, because of his silky hair.
I mean, it is like, I look up, I'm like, that's AJ Styles' has hair like that? And I look up and I see, you know, this clean cut guy, old videos of TNA, and then now he's got the hair that I wish I had.
He's a little bit of a rock and roller.
And I have to tell you, the first AJ Styles match I've ever seen, unless, of course, that one night where we all were live-tweeting Hulk Hogan showing up on TNA. Maybe he was there that night. Yeah. I think the first match I've seen him in was the Royal Rumble, and then WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I guess, but WWE was the first time I've ever seen him wrestle. And I'm impressed every time. Every time he tries to do the Styles Clash, though, I cringe because I'm like, please don't kill anybody.
I know.
But this guy who made a name for himself in TNA, who made a name for himself in Ring of Honor, who made a name for himself in Japan, gets signed not to NXT, straight to WWE, and boom, he's main eventing one of their pay-per-views within a few months.
It's crazy.
It is insane.
I mean, who would have thought when Jericho beat him at WrestleMania, and you're wondering,
what are they doing with him?
That storyline has to continue because he has to get one more win out to Jericho. Yeah. And if that storyline's not going to continue, he's going to be completely lost in the shuffle. Now he's fighting for the world title.
Yeah, it was the next night, right?
He's in the biggest storyline right now in the WWE.
It is the major storyline.
I mean, I was shocked. I watched the Hulu Plus version of Raw Tuesday. And in that 90-minute version, I'm pretty sure at least 60 of those minutes were just devoted to Styles, Gallows, and Anderson.
Yes. So as we were saying, we
talked about that thing.
Right.
I thought it was awesome.
We haven't even talked about them.
During the Usos. I thought it was fantastic.
Say that again?
When Gallows and Anderson made their debut and completely destroyed the Usos. I think Usos got like 3 moves of offense in.
Yeah, they just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And
people knew who they were, or at least some people knew who they were right away. I don't know about these white vests they're wearing, these white jackets, dusters, but...
I've seen worse.
That's true. But these guys, they're basically almost doing the outsider's angle. But who's the third man?
Yeah.
Is it AJ?
Exactly. Oh, I know who the third man is.
Now,
I know.
They've been teasing that AJ has no idea that these guys are kind of working rogue. They're doing the stuff on behalf of AJ, but AJ's not really condoning it. He says he doesn't need it. He says he can beat Roman by himself. But these guys are out there beating up Roman Reigns, beating up the Usos, saying they're doing it all for their good buddy, their good friend, Mr. AJ Styles. But are they really doing that for Mr. AJ Styles,
Brandon? Well, see, this could go in a number of directions. One direction could go in is that Gallows and Anderson help Styles win, and he becomes the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. This would be the biggest shock in the history of pro wrestling, or one of the biggest shocks. I think that's extremely unlikely for a number of reasons, but that's one possibility. I think the most likely possibility is that Gallows and Anderson come out. You'd think they're going to help Styles, but they're going to end up costing the match on purpose. And then the commentator, then they could do one of two things. The commentators could tease, like, is Reigns in cahoots with them? Or they could just lay out Reigns as well and just attack both those guys and just lay them out. And then you're wondering, what's going on here? What's the purpose? What are they up to? Which leads to Monday night on Raw with a reveal of a new supergroup, a new stable, the likes of which have not been seen since the Shield, the likes of which are having Mike do a very fabulous sassy dance.
I'm liking everything you're saying.
I'm talking about the debut
of Mojo Rawley. He ain't hyped.
Are you hyped? Stay hyped. And he's going to bring in his buddy Zack Ryder, the former Intercontinental Champion, and the hype bros are going to run wild over the tag team division.
Oh, my God. The hype, the Hyper Bullet Club. Hyper Bullet. Well, I'm going to edit that last part out. It was good until I said Hyper Bullet.
Or we could see the debut of Carmella, who joins Amore and Cass, Enzo and Cass.
Could happen. I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, a little bit out of place to happen in the main event match, but could still happen.
That would be crazy if Carmella came out as the third member. She just ran out on her own. They're like, "This is live TV. What do we do?"
you just see like the stock plummeting.
Like Clue the
third
movie.
Third possibility is you could see a man who we mentioned before in this podcast who
NH
you
Punk?
Might have witnessed NH Punk, also witnessed him.
It's true.
As an SBC 7-3.
Oh, but who didn't witness him? That would be you. Go on.
Anyways, you witnessed him lose the NXT championship to Samoa Joe. I think he's coming, if not Sunday at Payback, he's definitely coming on Raw. I'm talking about Mr. Finn Balor.
Whoa.
And we are going to see the birth of the Balor Club. And AJ Styles is going to be their first victim.
Because didn't they beat the crap out of AJ in Japan when he left them? So
Balor was the head, right? And then he left for NXT and Styles took over.
Is that what it was?
And then when Styles left, they basically had like the other guy move up, but I think it's called something different now, but it's basically like the same thing.
But in any event, your assumption is that Anderson and Gallows are going to turn on AJ.
Be like, oh, they're here to back up their boy AJ and whatever, but then they're going to cross in the match. Roman Reigns gets the win, and then it's going to be revealed on Monday night why they turned against AJ, and we're going to see the debut of Finn Balor.
Now, this is crazy. They'll never do this.
Or? Because I feel like Finn Balor is going to get such a huge fan reaction. It'd be weird bringing him in as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
They could bring him in as somebody who helps AJ against Gallows and Anderson and then turns on Styles and joins them at perhaps like the following pay-per-view.
That would be something. Now I want to lay out something that there's just no effing way they'll do this. Anderson and Gallows come out and only attack AJ and stand behind Roman Reigns. I know they've been attacking Roman Reigns recently, but it's all a ruse. And all of a sudden, the Roman Empire is two men stronger. And AJ's left there all by himself until the demon comes out. I'm talking about the Kiss Demon from WCW. That guy's actually dead, unfortunately. So it's coming full circle. I am not making that up either. Look it up, Wikipedia. That would be bonkers if they could, but they'll never turn Roman They'll never turn Roman full heel. They're trying to give him an edge. They're trying to make him look like the guy who doesn't care. They need to do more.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
When he said it the first time, I said, okay. But he says it every time like it's his motto.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You know, no. And they're backstage and he's talking to the Usos and he's sitting there. He's like, hey guys, how's it going? They're like, hey, Us, how's it going? He's like, I don't know about you, but you got to watch out for those guys. Like, it's just nothing. There's no, like. There's no enunciation.
I don't know what I'm buying into. Here's the thing, like, people have a torn reaction over John Cena, but I know, like, what people are supposed to buy into with John Cena. I know his personality. I know his character. I don't know if Roman Reigns even has a personality.
Deep down inside, I like John Cena's character. Even if I'm rooting against him sometimes, I like it.
And the thing is with Reigns is that he should just not talk. Like, he would be a perfect, like, silent badass. But if they want him to be the face, then he has to talk and put on, like... I just don't see how this is going to work.
They almost think, like, well, look at him. it speaks for itself. But he was an over heel when he was the quiet ass kicker of the Shield.
Yeah.
I miss Rollins. I miss him so much. I miss him so much. I don't know. I always hope he's going to be back by SummerSlam, but you just never.
Yeah.
You never know. So there's all kinds of places this story could go. And that's what makes it kind of interesting and a lot more interesting than Payback.
Than WrestleMania.
A lot more interesting than WrestleMania.
No, I agree. It has a lot of different avenues you could go into. And I think everything that we came up with, it would be an interesting story. Even if it's like a more straightforward, obvious story, it would still be an interesting story.
Right.
And I think if this past Monday is any indication, they're really building Styles, Gallows, and Anderson into something big down the road.
Right.
And I think the Balor Club, which is what I'm assuming it will become, I think it's going to be like, I think it's going to be like the level of like the Shield, where you just see these three guys or four guys be part of all these main event storylines and sort of dominate the tag teams in the mid card and get involved in the main eventers and hold their own and before going their own ways.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I just thought of something. Anderson and Gallows come out. They side with AJ. Does that, and where does that leave Roman Reigns if Finn Balor comes out? Is Finn Balor going to side with Roman Reigns? Is Finn Balor not going to be there? Anderson and Gallows come out and they beat up AJ. Where does that
leave? I'm thinking we see Finn Monday night.
So Finn's there as part of Anderson. So like, where is AJ become a, like, is the, what is it? Extreme Rules going to be AJ versus Roman taking on those three. You know what I mean? Like, where does it leave Roman when, if AJ,
or it could be
the Bullet Club?
Maybe you see like AJ and Roman against Gallows and Anderson, and they just tease. They spend a month teasing the debut of Finn.
True, he doesn't.
Or even if Finn's there, you don't know where he lies, and then. Either he makes his debut at is Extreme Rules the next one?
I think so. I feel like
so he could make his debut at Extreme Rules, or you know, whatever. Like, there's a lot of ways they could go down, but I think it's all leading to Finn Balor coming in and leading the stable.
Yes, Extreme Rules is the next one, and that takes place on May 22nd. So it's only 3 weeks, 3 week build.
Guess I'll see you in. Couple of weeks.
Do you know what's kind of cool though? No matter what happens, we're coming up with like 5, 6, 7 different options. They've given us something to watch, something to look for.
It's been interesting TV.
Where WrestleMania, we said, well, Roman's probably going to win the championship.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to see Stephanie dress up that way and do that talk. That's where she's screaming, where she's just screaming, yelling.
Things have just fresh, like not having the authority on TV every single week, not having the same matches every single week. Like,
yep.
I don't need to see Ziggler versus Sheamus 3 weeks in a row. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's nice seeing Sheamus in there with who was it that he fought this past week on Raw?
Was it AJ?
Yeah, AJ, Sheamus. We saw like Sammy, Rusev. Like those were fresh matchups, you know?
I mean,
and it makes Sheamus and Rusev and those guys more interesting because they're in there with new people.
And if you look at this card and you go back to WrestleMania, it's like the Miz was in that big ladder match. Cesaro wasn't in anything. Enzo and Cass, the Vaudevillas, weren't anywhere. Ziggler was in that big match. Corbin was in the big battle royal. Charlotte had the best. Yeah. Charlotte had the best match. I don't think Natalya was in like the pre-show, wasn't she?
Natalya was part of, yeah, like that, yeah, 10 Diva pre-show
team. We got Ambrose, who was in a match. Jericho was in a match. Zayn and Owens were in the last. But I mean, it's like there's so many different. Yeah. There's nothing.
Think of it this way. Apollo Crews also made his debut.
Right.
And not even on this card.
That's true. There's like
the I only think they probably won't throw him in there somewhere. But.
The only repeat is Kalisto Ryback.
Yeah,
it's the pre-show match because they have nothing for these guys. You know, Zayn and Owens fought each other, but not like this. I mean, this is a whole fresh.
So, card. I got one thing to ask of you that we did not mention yet.
Oh, right.
What do you think happens with the Vince McMahon decision? He's choosing Shane or Stephanie to be the head of Raw.
You know, whatever the storyline is, Raw has been better. So, storyline-wise, Raw has been better because of Shane.
Right.
And yet, a couple months ago, he's calling Shane a son of a bitch. He's taking pictures of Shane and smashing them, and he's disowning him. He's saying the F word at him in the middle of a ring.
Right.
His stipulation, if you lose, you're gone forever. And yet he lost, and he's been there ever since.
Yeah.
And you know what the funny thing is? It's wrestling. They're like, we'll just do it anyway. Who cares?
Yeah.
So I like Stephanie and Vince and Triple H being around. But I like Shane being around more. But yeah. I don't want them not to be around. They still need to be part of it, whether they work for Shane now. They answer to Shane, maybe. But I hope, and I don't think Shane is done. So I say somehow Shane's going to have some sort of control.
So if Shane gets control of Raw, do we see something change with SmackDown storyline-wise that makes that show more important?
Ooh, so maybe they do something there.
They did make a move to the USA Network. I feel like they sort of maybe want to do something more with it. It can always be the beat. They'll make it more interesting.
You get the rumor of like Tuesday night making it live. Sorry, the Celtics are down 15 points right now. It's not looking good. It's the second half.
Third quarter.
Huh?
It's the third quarter.
Oh, yeah, it's the third quarter. Not looking good. Where was I? I mean, they could do some sort of brand split, but they're not going to do a brand split, but they could make them almost like the old GMs where you're in charge of SmackDown.
The brand split would be cool again, except that leaves all the titles sort of up in the air, yeah. And they don't need more titles. That's the last thing that they need. They finally like narrowed it down and figured it all out. If anything, they could get rid of the US title and have even less belts. But
they just got to put the U.S. title. But the U.S. title was good when it was on in a good story with a good wrestler.
Yeah.
So they're only one. What are they? Three, four singles titles if you count the women's title, and a tag title. So yeah, I think that's good. But I think they could make it a SmackDown belt though. They could put it on SmackDown which maybe they already did. We just don't know. We just don't watch it. So we have no idea. Oh, it is, because I remember Daniel Bryan's like, I want to make the IC belt the SmackDown belt, and he was fighting there.
Yeah.
But not that I watched it. Still, I think actually I did try watching it, and that at least it piqued my interest. Kalisto bringing it to SmackDown would not pique my interest.
No,
at all. So I'm gonna just say that somehow Shane is still involved. That's my final answer.
Mine too.
And with that, Brandon, we've touched upon everything that we've wanted to speak about today. What's that? what did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, nothing.
You say you brushed your... I don't know. I really have no idea what you said, but in my mind, I have some... I pretend I have no idea. So,
whatever I said, it really flustered you.
It really did. It threw me off. So we've said everything we've come to say. Hopefully I just edit all that shit out. We've basically covered everything we wanted to say, from unfortunate deaths to NXT lull that you once again were not at, to
deaths too.
Yeah. And of course, covering Payback, which is this Sunday live on the WWE Network. Now, will you be watching Payback?
Yes.
Good. I will see you there, and you will be live tweeting during Payback.
Yep, at WrestleBrand.
At WrestleBrand. And me, myself, will be live tweeting Payback at WrestleWatcher. Come and enjoy us. Well, that didn't sound right. But come and spend some time on Twitter with us. And watch that if I make one grammatic error, Brandon will be using it for the rest of the night to shit all over me.
It's true.
Once again, we are WrestleFania, the most handsome wrestling podcast and only wrestling podcast on the internet. You can find us at fansnotexperts.com. You can find that Twitter at fansnotexperts. And we have our specific WrestleFania Twitter account, which is at WrestleFaniaBrand. As we already said, I'm WrestleWatcher on Twitter. Brandon's WrestleBrand on Twitter. Man Meets World. That'll mean something soon. Thank you guys for listening. Brandon, do you have anything to say before we leave?
Have fun watching Payback, and I want to know, even though they're on the poster, where are the Wyatts?
That's what I said. I was like, please say Wyatts.
Wyatts.
And with that, people,
Wyatt.
I want to thank all of you, Gary, Wyatt, for listening. And Gary, please, stop the stereo. If Gary's driving truck right now, I want you to flip the CB on, get all the channels going, flip us on, and I want everyone.
How come he doesn't get on the radio and tell everybody to listen to our show?
What I'm saying, he needs to get on the radio and say 10-4, good buddy. I got two Smokies and Bandits behind me, and I just blew a snot out of my nose. I need to go clean up. That's it. Thank you for listening, Gary, and everyone else. And listen, if anyone else is out there, Gary or not Gary, anybody out there, please just let us know you're out there. The best way to do that is if you go to fansnotexperts.com, or if you go to our YouTube channel, anything, leave a comment someplace. And I'm going to ask you, Gary, to do this, because Gary, we can't say Gary enough. Follow Gary at FarmTale38. For the price of that Twitter handle, I would love Gary to go to iTunes and write a review. Even if you have to make up an iTunes account, because we are smaller than a Schmeckle as far as wrestling podcasts. I almost have more fingers than we have listeners. And I know we don't do a show. We don't do the shows as much as everyone else, but we try.
But it's been a year.
Yeah, we've been doing it for over a year. We're funny. We're funny as hell. We're handsome as shit. And we deserve your iTunes reviews, even if it sucks. Say this show sucks. It would be cool just to see someone is having a response.
Agreed.
Right? Cool. That's it. All right. Say bye, Brandon.
Bye, Brandon.
Works every time.
You're never gonna get it. I'm a hazard to myself. I'll break it to you easy. This is hell. This is hell. You're looking at a whisper and you think I'm someone else. This is hell, yes, literal hell. We don't have to talk, we don't have to dance, we don't have to smile, we don't have to make friends. It's so nice to meet you, let's never meet again. We don't have to talk, we don't have to dance, we don't have to dance. We don't have to talk, we don't have to talk, we don't have to dance. We don't have to talk, we don't have to dance. We don't have to talk.
Fans Not Experts.